Blog Talk Radio.
Family, give thanks to Yahweh for another Wednesday evening. We can come together and have a midweek food for thought talk. Before we get started, say a short prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you for this day, Heavenly Father. Thank you for this hour, Heavenly Father, that you've given us that we might come together, Heavenly Father, and hear some of the things that you've given me to give to your people, dear God. Oh, Father, I pray, Heavenly Father, and just ask that each and every household is blessed, Heavenly Father, in the way that you so needed to be, dear God. Pray, Heavenly Father, this prayer and all prayers in Yahushua's holy name. Amen. Okay, family, this has been a real busy week for me, and it just got started. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Sabbath. But I tell you, there's a lot of interesting things that's going on. Before I actually get into my class this evening, you know, let's take a look at Proverbs 16:3. And in Proverbs 16:3, yeah, come on here, it reads, "Commit thy works unto Yahweh, and thy thoughts shall be established. The mighty one hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to Yahweh. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is plunged, and by the fear of Yahweh, men depart from evil." You know, we're living in some times where it just seems like anything and everything can occur. It just so happened to have been listening to the news today. It shouldn't really come as no surprise. But they were talking about the airline industry and how Boeing is actually governing itself when it comes to safety. You know, they have FCC? That is supposed to, at least I thought it was going behind Boeing and checking the safety of these planes, but that's not the case at all. As Boeing built these planes, Boeing runs its own safety checks and stamps it as if it's the government, and that's supposed to be law. But it just goes without saying that Man is just doing whatever man wants to do. And we have no way of, a lot of these things we have no way of knowing. And ultimately, you know, a lot of them we can't change, you know. But taking a look at the food side, I was I go to the World Food Market quite a bit because there's a different variety of foods, especially vegetables. They got all types of vegetables and fruits there from all around the world. And one in particular, they have a real big seafood market in the back. And I just went back there, wasn't really looking to buy anything, but I just go back every now and then just to see what type of fish they had. But it amazed me that all the fish, they had a fish market. And what amazed me was the fish that are being raised now, being farm raised. Rockfish are being farm raised now. You have red snapper. That's being farm raised now. So, you know, a lot of our foods, you know, whether we want to, a lot of our foods, whether we wanted to be, how can I put it, caught in the wild or not, it really isn't. Now, the same way they had the farm red snapper, they did have some wild caught red snapper, which they sold at a much more premium price. But a lot of what we're eating now is being farm raised. You know, you take a look at the storms that they had out in Iowa. Now, a lot of those farms were devastated. They were underwater. Now, taking a look at that, I'm pretty sure that some of those farmers will find themselves going out of business, you know, because of not having enough money or not being able to get the loans that they need to afford to keep their properties. And what will happen is big farmer will come in and take over those properties and plant a lot of their engineered corns and even a lot of the vegetables. Earlier, some part of last week, I was reading about different fruits and vegetables that are being sprayed, and especially the ones that are being heavily sprayed. Well, unbeknownst to me, spinach was at the top of the list. Spinach was at the top of the list. Actually, what they call it was the Dirty Dozen. And what was it? Kale, strawberry, spinach, nectarines, apples, grapes, peaches, cherries, pears, tomatoes, celery, and potatoes. You know, they've been sprayed very heavily. You know, and I just, you know, bring this to you all's attention so that, you know, you can do, you know, whatever you so feel you need to do for your family. But there are alternatives to eating these foods. We can seek out much cleaner foods to eat. As I stated last week, I think it's Aldi. They began to turn all their stores into organic. So it's an alternative where we can go and get cheaper organic foods to eat rather than going to some of the other commercially available stores to purchase those items. Some of the foods that they said were least likely to be sprayed or not sprayed a lot is avocados, pineapples, sweet peas, onions, papayas, eggplants, asparagus, kiwis, cabbage, cauliflower, cantaloupes, broccoli, mushrooms, honeydew, melons. They were said not to be sprayed as much. Some of them I can understand, especially when you're talking about asparagus. They tend to grow in the cool part of the year. And during that time, it's not a lot of bugs that will eat the fruit itself. Same thing with where's that broccoli? Cabbage. I'm surprised about the cabbage because that cabbage worm is can be pretty devastating. So I'm surprised that they had that on the list and of the least sprayed. But you know, that's just a little food for thought. You know, foods that we eat, because we do know that upon eating a lot of these foods that are sprayed, we ingest the foods. But because man is so zealous in what he's doing to have his crops prosper and to make as much money off of them as he can, they do spray, and those sprays, if we eat the food, we consume not just the solid part of the food, but the chemical itself also. And it just so happens that over periods of time, they can become poisonous to us, to our systems. But here again, it's just something that you know, we should take a look at and choose to you know, make decisions, you know, for your household and how you might go about avoiding those type of things. But that was you know, one of the things that was brought to my attention. There was also something about you know, there's just this week there was a recall of avocados. And those avocados, I believe, were they were grown in California. Well, you know, I did a little reading on climate change and the effects that it has on the environment and the different diseases and, well, different infectious diseases and germs that it causes. But we should also take note and be highly aware that some of these germs and diseases are of man's, how can I put this? They're of man. You know, a lot of times some of these some of our fruit and our vegetables are housed in places that are not clean. They are handled, you know, sometimes by people whose hands have been places that they should not have been, you know. And it doesn't take, excuse me, it does not take a lot, you know, for germs to spread when things like that occur. But, you know, when we think about climate change, you know, like the very things that people are protesting about, and our government seems, at this particular time, seems not to believe is occurring, but it is. You know, climate change has been something that has been occurring over years, over centuries, believe it or not. It's not something that's actually new. You know, I have an article sitting here in front of me, and just to read just a little bit of it, especially the beginning, and what it says is, humans have known that climate conditions affect epidemic diseases from long before the role of infectious agents was discovered, late in the 19th century. Roman aristocrats retreated to hill resorts each summer to avoid malaria. South Asians learned early that in the summer, strongly carried foods were less likely to cause diarrhea. You know, during you know, every century or that this earth has been here, there's been some type of calamity, some type of plague. You know, the plague man. You know, we can even look back in the Word. and we can see where there were plagues. There were plagues brought on because people were disobedient to Yahweh and His word and His ways. You know, and I'm sure it occurred during those early days also. But we find climate change today is so much similar. You know, we have man is cutting down tree, poor tree doesn't stand a chance out here in this world today. You know, wherever there's a tree, there's an opportunity for man to come along, cut it down, and build something. You know, we all know that the trees give off oxygen, but they also shade the earth from the sun. You know, the plants, they play a big part in our environment. But not just that, we have automobiles emitting carbon into the air. We have factories that's doing the same thing abundantly, and it's only so much that this natural earth of ours can withstand before it will begin to take hold and do things such as reversing the cycles. And that's what's going on. We have here in Maryland, you know, I have pictures where years ago there was snow. I mean, it was so much snow. I had some pictures where snow was actually up to my chest. You know, but those days are long gone. We barely get any snow now. There's a lot of rain, and a lot of that, you know, is really affecting the earth. And how diseases and these other infectious things come about. We can, there are things that we can do, especially when it comes to our food, because as climate change comes about, the farmlands are going to be affected greatly. You know, the hotter it gets, the more bugs there are. So what do you think they're going to be doing? They're going to be spraying more and more. They're going to be spraying more and more. And they're not just going to be using Roundup and all these other chemicals that Bayer can come up with, Bayer, DuPont, and all the chemical companies, you know, but they're going to be coming up with stronger strains of these chemicals. And if we aren't careful and aren't planning for these things ourselves, we're going to be ingesting them. You know, it's during times of these droughts that mosquitoes breed heavily. So, and when they breed heavily, what happens? They spray more. There's more of these chemicals in the environment, more of them in the air. And consequently, it affects our health. And throughout all of that, there's one animal in particular that's hurt by it all the most, and that's the bee. That's the lowly bee. You know, one time I can recall playing as a kid, we used to go out, keep little jars that mother might have bought something, you know, and was finished. We keep the little jars with the tops, and we go out and catch big bumblebees. I haven't seen a bumblebee in a long time. Every now and then I see a wasp, but a lot of it has to do with climate change, but more of it has to do with chemicals that are being sprayed on the plants that affects and kills the bee. It don't just kill the bee, but what it does, it a lot of these chemicals, the bees come in contact with something that is sprayed, and they take it right back to the beehive, and it affects the whole hive, not just that bee, but the whole hive. So, you know, this climate change thing is something that's here, and Who knows what's going to happen with it? Who knows what's going to happen? You know, but we do know that man isn't going to change his ways. We do know that they can find a way to grow these crops without any spoilage. They're going to do it. And sadly enough, our government doesn't have things in place to protect us. You know, a lot of us probably don't know it, but a lot of the chicken that is sold. This sounds crazy, but these chicken farmers, because they grow so many chickens, they find that it's cheaper to have these chickens killed and cleaned in China. So they actually ship these chickens to China. China will do whatever they do to clean them, and then they ship them back. Sounds crazy, but that's what they do. You know, but yeah, food supply is I don't know whether to use the word purposely or not, but it's being contaminated. It's being contaminated, and whenever we go to the store, we should be, you know, mindful of what man is doing, and try to eat as clean as we possibly can. Eat as clean as we possibly can. There was a report that in Britain about ice machines. There were ice machines that was found in was at McDonald's, KFC, and Burger King that was contaminated with feces. You know, it's just so much going on, so much going on, and we just don't know. You know, a lot of these things, you know, we go to these restaurants and we eat this food, but we really don't know what's going on in the kitchen. We really don't. You know, it's a little scary. But you know, I don't eat at McDonald's, Burger King, or KFC myself. But for those that might, you know, you may want to consider, instead of having those drinks, pass them up. But it's a lot going on out here in the world that man is doing to destruct and to destroy his people, you know. And you know, Yahweh, you know, has told us in His Word that not to follow man. You know, He's told us take a look at what's that, John 15:1, go. Okay. I am the true vine, and my Father is the farmer. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, He takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already pruned clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. As the branch can't bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who remains in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So, you know, family, let's continue to follow the path of Yahweh, you know, as it is written and the way the word has been given to us. And he won't depart from us in all that we do. But getting to my lesson this evening, we're still talking about prepping. And what we're going to take a look at, we're going to take a look at ways to preserve food. Last week, I talked about water and the uses of water, how much water is recommended per person for a two-week period. And this week, what we're going to take a look at is preserving meats, vegetables, and fruits. We're going to take a look at the ways, different ways that they're preserved, the shelf life, and the different apparatuses that are used. Sometimes, you know, one of the days, in these days and times, when we think about just about anything, you know, anything that we can do, you know, most things, well, technology is such that they have a means to do it rather than to, say, especially when it comes to canning, to lay your meat out in the air and let it air dry, or curing it with salt in a smokehouse, or, you know, or smoking meats. You know, those are all ways of preserving, but man has gotten technology smarter, and he's able to, you know, build machines for hydrating. He has built for machines for freeze drying, which actually makes the process a lot shorter, and it's highly effective. The process of using the freeze dryer, it will preserve foods for up to 25 years. For up to 25 years. The dehydrator, it will preserve foods up to 12 years. Now, with each of these processes, especially with dehydrating, some foods that you can dehydrate, is recommended before you dehydrate them that you either parboil them or steam them. And the reason for that is to allow some of the juices to seal the juices in the, whether it's the vegetable or the fruit, while it's being dehydrated. You know, I've dehydrated before, but I've never steamed or boiled anything. Usually it's highly recommended when you're boiling, I mean, when you're hydrating things like grapes, rather than to try to hydrate them whole as they are. You can either steam them, pinch, put a hole in them, or cut them in half. Part of the hydrating process is heat. And different fruits, different vegetables, you want to use a different temperature setting. And as I said, it depends on what it is that you're dehydrating. If you're dehydrating something that has a lot of moisture in it, it's going to take a little more time, and it should be set at a higher temperature. Now, what I'm speaking of now are actually hydrating machines. There's a couple of two of the major manufacturers of hydrators are was that Excalibur and American Harvest. They make they're two of the biggest makers of hydrators, but You can also do the same thing in your oven. You know, if you heat your oven up to, I think it's 140 degrees, and you can place things in your oven and hydrate them. It's going to take a lot longer, and it's going to take a lot longer. And one of the things that your oven won't do that dehydrators does, the heat and the air in the dehydrators, they are there's a fan that actually disperses the air, so everything is more or less dried evenly. Unlike in your oven, you know, you don't have that fan to disperse the air. But whether you hydrate in your oven or in a hydrator, you don't want anything that you're hydrating to be too thick. Because what occurs is you're going to find that part of what you're hydrating will be dehydrated and the other part won't. And if you were to store something that is partially hydrated along with other fruits or vegetables that has been hydrated, you can contaminate the lot. So, you know, there's some thought and some concern that should be taken when you're doing that. Okay? Now, as I say, there's several ways that foods can be preserved. Another one is, well, we all know freezing, but freezing is it can be good as long as there's power. But if you don't have any power, then freezing is going to be of no good to you. You know, a freezer full of food, if you don't have any power, is lost. It's no good to you at all. It's spoiled. But one of the best ways and most, I'll just say one of the most popular ways of preserving food is through canning. And canning can be done in several different ways. Now, a lot of people, when they can, a lot of people can fruit and vegetables. And there's a reason for that. I'll get into that in a minute. But when you are canning, as I say, there's a process that goes into that. There's going to be a need for canning jars along with lids, and the lids that are used should be new, okay? But what else is there? Yeah, you got the jars and you got the lids, okay. And you have a big pot, which you know, fill up with water. You have in the bottom of the pan where the water is, there's a what can I call this thing? It's like it's a metal shelf that you actually just set the jars down in, and it allows you to, you know, pull them up when you're ready to, you know, take them up rather than take them up one at a time with some tongs. But you want to, when you put the jars in the, well, when you're preserving the foods, you've got to have some type of acid in the food as a preservative. One of the things that is used a lot is lemon juice. Lemon juice is used a lot as a preservative for fruits and vegetables. It helps to keep bacteria out of your food, and that's one of the reasons why it's used. There's other things that can be used, but you can use vinegar also. Lemon juice is one of the main things that is used. But as I stated, you know, you you set your jars in the water bath and put the top on the pan You wait until the tops on the jars actually, how can I put this? They pop. You know, when you put the jar, originally, when you put the top on the jar, the top is actually flat. But as the heat heats, as the heat from the water heat whatever it is that you're preserving, pressure builds up in the jar, and it causes the top of the jar to pop up. And at that time, you know that it's ready to come out of the what they call the water bath. And it's ready to put on the shelf. It's ready to put on the shelf. And you find things that has been canned that way in the water bath, they can be kept for 10 or 15 years. But the main thing is, as I stated, there's got to be some acid that's been added to these things. And it doesn't require a whole lot, but the acid has got to be added to whatever it is that's being canned. You know, meats can also be canned, but it requires a pressure cooker. You got to, if you're going to be canning, let's say you want to make some chicken soup, you know, because it has meat in it, it's got to be canned. Now, I really don't know about beef, and I really didn't look into it, excuse me for that part, only because I don't eat beef, but chicken. If you're going to can chicken, you want to use the white meat of the chicken. Same thing with drying chicken. Same thing with dehydrating chicken. You want to use the white meat of the chicken to dehydrate. Same thing when you're making jerky from chicken. You want to use the white meat of the chicken. Okay, you know, there's various books that has been written about, all of these different processes. Matter of fact, you know, we all have computers these days, and it's not too difficult to go online and, you know, and do some research. You know, just, you know, find one that, you know, might suit you and, you know, and give it a try. It's not difficult, but I will say it is a process, just like it is with most things. It is, you know, canning is a process. You know, you're going to need certain items. There are certain items that's going to be needed in order for you to do the process, okay? There's another form of preserving that's been around for centuries, and that is what they call lacto fermentation. And when foods are fermented, usually they're placed in a liquid and put in a jar. Placed in a liquid and just put in a cool and dry place. And just let it set there. And usually the acid, here again, the acid preserves whatever food there is, you know. And today, fermented foods is a real popular thing with people that tend to eat healthy. You know, you have there's a lot of different fermented things. Where they have you got your beets. You know, that's a form of fermentation. Pickles, that's a form of fermentation. what's the name of that drink? Shoot, I used to make that drink my daggone self. I can't even think of the name of it. But that's a form of fermentation, you know, where you take some tea and some sugar and you just set it out and just let it, you know, just let it set there. And over a period of time, it actually turns, if you let it set too long, it'll turn to vinegar. But kombucha, that's the name of it, kombucha. But that's a form of fermentation. Yogurt, that's a form of fermentation. You know, so, you know, and they're all good, you know. When you're using vinegar as a as the basis for your fermentation, you'll find that whatever it is that you're fermenting, it can last for years. It can last for years. So, you know, it's plenty of ways for us to preserve foods for calamities or for those times when the grocery store is shut down. You know, you can't get out, get to the store because of weather or some man-made calamity. We can have food in our storehouses to last us for a period of time. There's also a we're preserving using alcohol. That's something that I haven't done a whole lot of, you know, reading into for real, because I feel as though the ones that I've mentioned are pretty sufficient. And I don't drink, but if you're going to be held up in your home for an extended period of time, I don't think that alcohol would be something that would be, how can I put this? Well, unless alcohol, let me just say this, I do know that if you're using alcohol to cook with, you're using alcohol basically for the taste of whatever that alcohol tastes like, okay? But in preserving, like if you're using alcohol, you still have that, what was that? The alcohol still has that intoxicating agent in it that will cause intoxication. And during times of emergency, being intoxicated to any degree may not be a good idea, because I would think that you'd want to be have all your faculties about you so that you can deal with situations as they arose. But that is another way of alcohol is another way of preserving foods, and it will preserve the food for extended period of time, for years. Now, there's another way of preserving food. Another way that foods are being preserved, and that is there's different companies that are preserving foods. You can buy these ready packs, I'll call them, where food is already processed. It's been freeze-dried. There's some companies that are making complete meals and making complete meals that that are put in pouches. You got your if it's a soup, you know, you got everything in that pouch to make, you know, for you to make this soup. And usually the only thing that it takes is water for it to be added to water to make it soup. But like I said, they're different companies. Let me see, there's two in particular. God, I wrote them in my notes here, but I didn't. But there's two companies in particular that, and I'm sorry, but I did not. There's two companies in particular that makes a lot of different fruit, freeze-dried, preserved foods that are on the market. And they actually, like I said, they make complete meals, that can be purchased to eat. But again, it does require you having water on hand to cook these different pouches with. You know, so there's ways of weathering the storm, so to speak. And I guess we will have to, you know, each family choose, you know, which method that we want to use in order to make this a viable option for us. You know, just looking at these ready-made pouches, there's every year, at least on the, they have them in the winter also, but every year in the spring and in the summer out in Timonium, I know at least three or four times during the spring and the summer, they have events out there where they have people that actually sell these products. Matter of fact, there are people out there that sells a lot of the prepping stuff. They sell the meals, amongst other things. There's a lot of other things that they sell, but those things in particular, since that's what we're talking about, they do sell. And you know, one of the things I'm going to make a point is going out there and purchasing some of these freeze-dried products to try beforehand, just so I can taste them and see what varieties or what meals, you know, maybe my family will lack, and maybe purchasing some of them, you know. usually when you buy them, they can be bought. They have they come in food grade buckets. That's how they're sold. And each bucket is meant to last for a number of days. You know, I don't have any prices, so I can't say how much these things cost. But as I say, you know, I rather than going online at this moment anyway, I'm going to wait until they have on one of those shows out at Timonium, or either Timonium or out in Dallas, Virginia, which they have one that's coming, that's going to be coming up real soon. That's a much larger one. The place space out there is three times as big as Timonium, and it's a much larger representation of what we've been talking about when it comes to prepping, be it food, be it equipment, be it books, or just, you know, knowledgeable people, people that have knowledge on what it takes, to prep for, you know, for various situations, you know. But like I say, that's something that I will be looking into. Something that rather than find out on the internet, that's something that I want to physically take a look into, and at the taste, and you know, just to see. You know, because you're buying pouches like that, you really don't know what you're getting until you get it. And I'd hate to go out here and buy five or six of these tubs only to, being a situation where I have to use them, being a situation where I have to use them, and then find out that I don't like the taste of it. So I'm going to try to taste them ahead of time to just to have an idea of what they may taste like. But there's, like I said, there's all types of things that all types of foods that you can get that will allow you to weather these different storms that may be coming our way. You know, thank Yahweh for giving us, you know, the forethought and the wisdom, you know, to, you know, just to think about preserving these things. You know, it's, you know, they, during the biblical times, they preserved quite a bit. They had to, because they didn't have refrigerators, you know. You know, so they had to use the salt, you know, they had to use the vinegar. And there's some herbs that I do believe you can use to that you can use to preserve. How long, you know, how long foods will last with these herbs, I don't really know. But you know, there's different means that and ways that we can use, you know. But it's nothing new. It's nothing, you know, like King Solomon said, nothing new under the sun. It's been around for years. You know, but Yahweh is opening our eyes to these things now, and prayfully we will avail ourselves of them to be used at later dates. Pretty soon, this is early March, and about another month or so, you know, the farms will probably be opening up. Matter of fact, they will be opening up, and. We'll be able to begin to go get some of the early crops. Let me see. I'm looking. Matter of fact, I'm looking at one of the farms now, Bulger's Farm, and that's out in Westminster. That's a really nice place out there. Love you. Chuckling a little bit because I love to go out there. There's cherries out there. Goodness gracious, those things are some kind of good. I think I eat more than I purchase. And we went out there last year, and I believe they had a sign that said something about eating cherries. I don't know how you can stop somebody from eating cherries, but I believe they had a sign out there. But I don't know, this particular farm, you know, talking about preserving, but they sell a lot of peaches, and it's about, they have, let me see, about seven different variety of peaches that they have. Cling Peach, Century, Red Haven, White Peach, Sun High, Loring, Crest Haven, and Encore. But they don't come until July. Let me see. Mid-May is strawberries. Early June, you have your peas. Then mid-June, you have your sweet cherries and your sour cherries come in late June. But it's, you know, it's we're getting close to that time of the year, family. You know, some of the veggies we can start, as I stated last week, we can begin to plant now. I've put beets. I put some seeds out for beets, and I look in my garden and I can see where my chives are beginning to come up. I see where my fig tree is beginning to show little buds on them. Numerous plants that I have out in the back of my yard, I can see where they began to show some growth. Believe it or not, most of what I have are in pots. I didn't grow too much last year in my small area that I have in my garden. I didn't grow anything in there last year at all, you know. But it's that time, you know. It's time for us to, you know, start thinking about how we're going to utilize our gardens. That's another thing, you know. You know, think about how you can utilize your garden to grow things that you can. you know, grow things that you can, you know. It's nothing like having the freshest of the fresh. You know, you know who grew it, and you know what they did to it. you know it's not sprayed. You know, and that's a blessing. That's a blessing. You know, just to get away from prepping just a little bit, even though this is about prepping. I've been looking into various ways of growing indoors, you know, growing indoors. You know, who knows? There may come a time when, you know, like I said, you can't get out there and you can't get certain things. If you, you know, there's some vegetables that can be grown indoors that does not require a whole lot of care. You know, you have a bunch of different lettuces, you know, that can be grown. And the thing about when you're growing those lettuces, you know, a lot of times you don't pull up the whole plant. You know, you just snip off the tops of them, and they keep growing for a while. You know, so there's, you know, but there's ways of doing those kind of things. You know, a lot of articles on the internet that can be read about how you can take if you're cooking and you're using the onion, you know, how you can take the top of that onion and have it. You're repurposing it, placing it in some water, and it will grow roots to grow more. Carrots, same thing, tops of the carrots. You know, I've never tried any of that, but I can see where it can be done. But there's just so many different things that we can do, so many different things that are available to us. You know, one thing that, you know, we should, you know, constantly be mindful of is man, and how man has, he's actually controlling us by controlling our time. You know, we get up and we go to work, and we work 8 hours. And you know, a lot of us we don't work right down the street from where we live, so we've got to commute, and that takes time. And all that time that we're using to go to work, you know, we don't have the time, or we're too tired when we get home to do any of these things that I've talked about. You know, but you know, let's be mindful of what the enemy is doing. You know, and how he's using our time against us. You know, here's another way, you know, for us to be our brother's keeper. You know, to help one another to do these things. Like I say, time, you know, time for a lot of us, you know, is limited, you know, and, you know, trying to feed our families. That's understandable. We're trying to feed our families and whatnot, you know, so. But when two or more of us come together, you know, we can find strength in all things that we do, you know, especially when it's, when it's done, with Yahweh in mind. That's the way it's done with Yahweh in mind. You know, he told us that he would never leave us. He would never forsake us. You know, but we've got to continue to walk the path and continue to do the things that he has told us to do in his Torah. Observe his commands. Observe his high holy days. You know? And nothing will be denied of us. But just to give a brief overview here, you know, the drying, you know, we talked about dehydrated machines, as I said, Excalibur and the American Harvest. They make the most popular brands of dehydrated machines. You know, Then you have the ovens, and you have the air drying. Now, air drying is one of the things that that was used centuries ago, especially for plants. Now, air drying is how I usually dry my herbs. I'll use air drying to dry my herbs. I will cut them and, time together and put them in a brown bag, hang them upside down, so that the oils will drain down into the leaves, and put them in a cool place, and I guess about 30, 40 days, they're dried, you know. But there's, you know, those are the machines that that are used for dehydrating. E.K. Poussey. Those are the machines that have been, those are the machines that are used for dry dehydrating. And don't forget, you know, ways to preserve the cannon, the preserving in the salt, and the freeze drying, and what's that other one? Yeah, the cannon, and the cannon. But as I stated earlier, you know, when we are canning, it's a process, and there's steps to the process, and so those things, you know, will have to be learned in order to can. And in canning, let's not forget also that you need acid, and usually the acid that is used is lemon juice. Lemon juice is used, you know. But I'm going to end the class right here, and I pray that each and every ear that was able to hear me tonight took something away and found it valuable to them. You know, these things that I talk about are things that, you know, the canon, you know, canon can be looked at in a lot of different ways, you know, not just to, not just for a day when you think there may be some type of calamity, but, you know, it could be, you could be canning because, you know, you've got a windfall of money and you want to find a way to put things into your household, you know, for a rainy day, same way you put money in the bank, you know, for a rainy day, you know, you want to find ways of putting some foods on your, in your store house, you know, for a rainy day. So, you know, there's different, you know, different ways of looking at this other than through emergencies. You know, we know that throughout anything that may come, that the faithful will have Yahweh on their side. We know that. But we still want to be mindful, you know, of all that we do. All right, family? So with that, I'm going to end with a short prayer, and I just pray, as I stated, that, you know, we all took a little something away from this evening, and next Wednesday will be my last class, and it'll probably be a little longer, because what I'm going to speak about next week is about co-oping. Now, from what I've been reading, it takes a lot to just to get one started. It takes a lot to get one started, but I'm going to come forth next Wednesday evening, if Yahweh so bless me that I'm here to do it. You know, I'm gonna come forth with information on co-oping as a means for Beth Yahweh family to come together, and not just come together, but pool our resources to you know, to buy different items in bulk for our households so that we can begin to hold on to a little bit more of our monies, you know. You know, there's ways and there's means, you know, that we can do that. You know, so I'm just going to, as I said, I'm going to bring forth some information next week to the congregation, and I'll let the congregation decide, you know, just how they want to, you know, move forward with the information once it's dispersed. But it's, as I say, it's a way that we can come together and build something and do something together that we can all partake in, that we can all partake in. But with that, I'm going to close with a brief word. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yahweh, I thank you for this this evening, dear God. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for this hour that you've given me, Heavenly Father. I pray, Heavenly Father, that those that were listening this evening understood what was said this evening, dear God, and that they will use what was said, Heavenly Father, to their benefit as they so see it, Heavenly Father. Oh, Father, I pray and I thank for your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Heavenly Father, in this coming. And that his dying for the forgiveness of our sins, Heavenly Father. I pray, Heavenly Father, and ask that you continue to bless Beth Yahweh, Heavenly Father. Bless those, Heavenly Father, within our camp, dear God, that are ill of health this evening, Heavenly Father. I pray, Heavenly Father, and ask that you'll bless those, Heavenly Father, that are away from their homes this evening, Heavenly Father, and give them safe passage home, Heavenly Father. I pray, Heavenly Father, and just ask that you bless us, Heavenly Father, in all things that we do. In Yahushua HaMashiach's name I pray. Amen. Good night, family. Shalom.
Closest friend.